This time we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. How are you all doing this morning? Man, there's a lot of you all today. Praise God. All right. Well, Aaron had the bag this week, so let's see what Aaron put in here. Oh, wow, he's got paper and everything. Fancy. Oh, gross. All right, he put a representation of the devil in there. You can sit right here, bud. It's not even a cute little thing. It's horribly disturbing. I know. I don't know why they'd make it a stuffed animal either. Well, I have one of these in my office, believe it or not, a stuffed animal like this in my office. And now I have two, apparently. Or I'm going to give this back to you because I'm sure you want it, right? Yeah. You don't know anybody else that's scared of a possum. That makes me unique. And we are all unique. And we are all uniquely made. Everything has a purpose, right? What is the purpose of a possum? Well, they eat ticks. They provide food for some people. Anybody had possum before? Oh, nobody here. Okay, well, one person here. All right. They provide food. Everything that God made has a purpose, right? I think part of the purpose of a possum is to be as ugly as possible so other animals look beautiful. Right? So that might be another purpose. But all of us have a purpose, right? And all of us have a specific design that God has created us for. And I want us to remember always that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God has not made any mistakes when He's made us. He's formed us exactly the way He wants us to be formed. He's given us the exact right way to be and to do and to act. And so we have the opportunity each and every day to be a blessing to others, unlike possums. So, we're going to pray. Actually, first, Aaron, who would you let? You need to give the bag to somebody that has not yet had it. You've already had it, but I know. All right, so who hasn't had it that wants it? All right, Chase. Chase has it. So he'll have it next week. And what are the three rules again? Can't be alive. Can't used to be alive. Yeah, if I don't know what it is, you have to explain it.
But I'm pretty sure you would know what that is.
I absolutely know what this is, so you can have it back. And if you want to give it back to me later, just warn me. Don't just put it in a bag and sneak it up on me. Yeah, yes, you can do that. All right, well, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given to us, Lord, for Your love and grace. Lord, we thank You for all that You have created. Those things that are necessary, and Lord, those things that at times don't seem very necessary. We pray that You would continue to guide and lead us as You have created us, that we might be a blessing for You to others. We love You, we thank You, we praise You, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to children's church or go back to your seat. That's all right.
Good morning. A beautiful fall morning to be here, isn't it? We're going to go opossum hunting one night this fall and get you over your fear of possums, okay?
Nope.
Then we might find some sweet potatoes to put with it and something, and you can have the meal that you just talked about right there. So get over the fear and have the possum right there.
We'll see what happens.
This morning I'll be reading Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 from the Common English Bible. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except for this foreigner." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." The word of God for the people of God.
I've been in deep prayer ever since I opened the bag and there was a possum inside of it. Let us continue in prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for the reading and hearing of your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me this morning. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be obedient to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Karl Barth is a famed theologian. I'm sure most of you have heard of his name at least once in your life. And he was fond of saying that the basic human response to God is gratitude. The basic human response to God is gratitude. It is not fear and trembling. It is not guilt and dread, but it is thanksgiving. Now, it's very easy, I think, for many of us to approach God with some fear and trembling, with some guilt and some dread, but how often do we approach Him with thanksgiving? How often do we approach Him with grateful hearts? What is our basic response to God this morning? Luke chapter 17, verse 15 says, "One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice." And I wonder this morning, like this Samaritan, how do we respond to God's acts of loving kindness? How do we respond to all that he has done for us? Do we respond to him intentionally? Or do we maybe do it a little more passively? Do we think, "Well, I showed up to church today, so I've responded the way that I'm supposed to respond," and maybe you kind of leave it at that? Prayer for John Wesley and for us is an important means of grace. Prayer at its most basic form is nothing more than conversation with God. It amazes me at how frightening prayer can be to some of us. And at the end of the day, it is a conversation between you and God. And if there are others around, it is a communal conversation that you get to have with others and on behalf of others. And I think this morning that we often don't allow prayer to be all that it can be, all that God wants it to be, all that it is prepared to be for us. This Samaritan that we've heard of this morning does three things today that we need to be mindful of. Three things that I think we need to do more often as a people who claim to be a people of prayer. He sees, he returns, and he praises. Now, all 10 of these lepers, all 10 of these men that he was with, that Jesus encountered as he was going on his way, asked for mercy. How many of us here today have asked God for mercy? I'd venture to guess 100% of us at some point or another. But this Samaritan was the only one who properly stewarded the prayer and the gift that he was given. And he did that by seeing, by returning, and by praising. And today I want us to consider what that looks like. I want us to delve into these three responses that he gives so that hopefully we may be more mindful of prayer and more mindful of thankful prayer. So the first thing he does that I've mentioned is that he sees. He sees what God has done for him. He sees what God has done in his life. He sees, namely, that he has been healed. And we notice, interestingly enough, that they are healed as they are on their way then to the temple and to their priest. Jesus has healed them, and on their way, he notices, he sees that he has been healed. I think seeing God is one of the most difficult aspects of prayer. And I think oftentimes we don't see God because we're not necessarily looking for God. Is there anyone in here this morning who's ever gone to prayer frustrated? Okay, a few. Are there any who have gone to prayer and in the midst of it you found yourself frustrated because you don't feel as if God is listening? You don't feel as if God cares. You don't feel as if he has enough time to hear what you have to ask him or to talk to him about. Again, I would venture to guess most of us. Seeing God is difficult. I tend to think that we see God mostly in the hindsight. We tend to see God after things have happened. This Samaritan is no different. He sees God after he has been healed, but he also, I think, sees the healing take place. I've had the opportunity the last several years to be part of the SLI process. It's a process that's going on in our conference and at our district levels, and I've had the opportunity to serve on many. And what we do is we gather for 8 hours, whatever meeting or group that I'm a part of, we gather for 8 hours a month. And we spend these 8 hours loving, learning, and leading together, trying to find ways to solve problems that have very difficult solutions. And during our loving time, one of the things we do, we share accountability, we'll have a devotion, but we also share glory sightings. Is anyone familiar with the term glory sighting? There may be a few. Basically, a glory sighting is a praise. When we ask for glory sightings, we're asking, where have you seen God in your midst since the last time we were together? Where have you seen God in your life? What have you seen God do in amazing ways? Where has the kingdom of God and your life collided in some form or fashion? And this practice of glory sightings, I know that at least 3 or 4 times a month I'm going to be asked about seeing glory sightings. I am intentional then to look for God every single day, much more than I used to be. And I'm looking to see where those instances are where God has been present, where God has acted, where God has done something in my life. And you know what I've discovered? God is far more present than we give him credit for. He's everywhere. It's quite amazing to see and to be intentional about looking for him in different places. What's the promise we hear in Matthew? Seek and ye shall what? Find. Seek and you'll find. And I have been just humbled and overwhelmed at the times that I have seen God when I wasn't quite expecting to see it. One of the places I see God most prevalently is in a line. Anybody like waiting in line for anything? One of the things I love about lines is it forces us to slow down. We're stuck. Now, I'm not talking about traffic. I'm talking about a line in a store. I don't like traffic. That's no good. That's what you get when you pray for patience. When I stand in line, like at Walmart or a different store, as I'm forced to kind of slow down, I start to look around, and I start to just notice people and see people, and I start to just be amazed at the fact that God knows every single person that is there. And God has formed them and created them, and he loves them just as much as he loves me. And it just amazes me every single time. Next time you're standing in line, just kind of look around. God is far more present than we give him credit for. This discipline or this practice of looking for glory sightings is how I've come to kind of figure out what Paul means when he talks in 1 Thessalonians about praying continuously or praying without ceasing, as Mike shared earlier. I can pray without ceasing just by opening my eyes and looking for God in great ways. I had the opportunity several years ago as a youth leader, I was discussing this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and I asked the youth group, what does it mean to be in prayer constantly? What does it mean to pray without ceasing? And I'll never forget this 15-year-old girl named Christine, kind of the life of the party, just a very deep thinker, said something that I will remember for the rest of my life. Now, at this point, I was in seminary, paying huge dollars to hear these experts in everything tell me in wax and wane eloquence about God and all things religious. And here, this 15-year-old girl said something that just stopped me dead in my tracks. I said, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? And she said, it's a constant state of awareness of God. And I know some of you are thinking, duh. But when I heard that, everything just kind of stopped. And it was a light bulb moment for me. And I was like, wow, yeah, that's exactly right. And that is what I have loved most about this practice of glory sightings, is because I've been constant, much more aware of God than maybe I have been in the past. And so this morning, where do you see God? And maybe a more important question this morning is, are you looking for him? Are you being a proper steward of prayer by looking for God? So the first thing that this Samaritan does is he sees God. The second thing he does is he returns. And he returns very physically and specifically to Jesus. Instead of going to the temple, instead of going to the priest, as he's been ordered to do with these other nine, he returns to Jesus. He sees what's happened, and now he returns. I don't know about you, but prayer tends to be a fairly elusive discipline for me. I don't pray as well as I wish I did. I'm what I would call a binge prayer. Some people are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I will spend several months just deep in a prayerful mode, and I'm just very much aware of this conversation that I'm having, and then I'll go months where there's just nothing happening. And, you know, it tends to be, of course, my fault because I'm not spending as much time or being as intentional as I should be. But I don't know if that resonates with any of you, but that's kind of how my prayer life goes. I'm kind of a binge prayer. I'm either very high on the prayer discipline or very low on it. There's really never much in between. And I tend to only return to Jesus when I either miss him or I've kind of exhausted myself and come to the end of my rope. Anybody ever done that before? Oh, maybe we should pray about this instead of trying to solve it ourselves. And so I return to him, and I don't return enough. I'd say I return to him about once every 10 times or so. I don't think it's a coincidence that only one returns, that only 10% of those he heals comes back, because I'd say about 10% of the time is when we're aware of him. When we're truly cognizant of what he has done. A vital discipline that I have picked up over the years is of returning to Jesus is doing so by praying the hours. Is anyone familiar with this discipline, praying the hours? It's a very ancient practice, and there are basically three or four, depending on the group you're with, that will spend four or three different times during the day praying. And they're very particular about this. I've got some prayer guides that go along with this, and I'm able to kind of read scripture and be in a prayerful mindset. And so you devote four times a day to just pray. And again, as I binge pray, sometimes I'm doing this very faithfully, and other times I'm not. But one thing that I have done is, again, in these meetings that I've been a part of, this person let us know about this. There's an app on that you can get on your phone. If I could open my phone, there we go. It's called Echo. Is anyone familiar with this app? Echo. It's basically a prayer app, and you can put all manner of different prayer requests on here. And so I've got probably 20 or 30 things on there. Some of them are prayers for people. Some of them are praises. I have like the doxology on there, various things. And what I've done is I've set it to randomly, or it'll randomly choose one of these prayer concerns. And I've got it set to ding at 8 a.m., at 12:25 p.m., at 6:10 p.m., at 10:05 p.m. And I've got it set to go off at these different times because I'm hoping that when it goes off, I'll take a few moments to pause whatever it is I'm doing and return to Jesus. And return to my Savior. And return to the one who has given me so much more than I deserve. It's at these moments that I make a concerted effort to return to Christ. And if you don't have the app, I would highly recommend it. It's helpful for me. Even in those low moments when it goes off, I'm reminded of the need to pray. And so I ask us this morning, when do you pray? Do you have a set time that you pray? Do you just tend to pray when the mood strikes? If you do, that means you're a binge prayer like myself. And so we've identified that. Now you can move on from there. Are you returning to the source of all good things? Are you returning to the bread of life on a regular basis? We all ask for mercy, but do we always return to the one who has given us that mercy? This Samaritan sees what God has done. He returns to him. And the third thing he does, when he gets to Jesus, he praises him. He falls on his face, we see, and thanks Jesus for what he has received. I was struck with a question several years ago, and the question goes something like this: what if you only received today what you thanked God for yesterday? Would any of us be in trouble today? Luckily, I practiced this sermon yesterday, and so I thanked God for everything. So I'm good today. Hopefully, today I'll do that for tomorrow. What if you only received today what you thanked God for yesterday? How many of us have taught our children or somebody to say thank you when someone does something nice for you? Nobody? Okay, one person. Good, I'm glad. All right, good. Do we thank God regularly? Do we use proper manners in our relationship with God? When he does something for us, do you say thank you? I don't think we say it probably enough. Maybe 10% of the time. Maybe one out of every 10 times he does something, we'll thank him for what he's done. Upon seeing and returning, there is nothing left for this Samaritan to do than to fall at Jesus' feet in complete humility and thankfulness, recognizing Jesus is the reason for everything he has. It was faith that we see healed this Samaritan. It was faith that saved him. Has your faith healed you this morning? Has your faith saved you? Have you seen? Have you returned? Have you given praise to God? It isn't enough simply to know what Jesus has done. It's not enough to just know it. Because we can use that to do whatever we want, right? If we just know what Jesus has done and we haven't thanked him for it, is there a sense or a feeling that we've been a part of that solution rather than just the recipients of it? Well, I really lucked out on that one. Whew. I dodged that bullet. Well, no, he shoved you out of the way of that bullet. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't get lucky, we got blessed. It isn't enough simply to know what he has done, but to thank him and to praise him. As Karl Barth says, this is our basic human response. How many of us are basic humans this morning? A few more, that's good. How many of us have that basic response of gratitude? Anne Lamott has two favorite prayers that she prays. In the morning, she prays, "Help me, help me, help me." And in the evening, as she's going to bed, she prays, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." That just about sums it up. That's about as simple and as important as it gets. Today we have the opportunity to come to the table. As we celebrate Holy Communion, another name for it is Eucharist, which literally means Thanksgiving. We not only come to this table, but we join in reciting the great Thanksgiving, and we'll do that in a few moments, and the words will be on the screen, and I hope and pray that you will take time not just to read those words. Some of you probably have those words memorized. But I would encourage you to read them, to hear them anew today. The Eucharist affords us the opportunity to see God, to return to God, and to praise God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, as we come to the table, we join with the world in asking, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And as we return to our seats, we join the world in saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope and pray today that we will be mindful of our basic human response, and that we will be a gracious and grateful people, and that we will seek to worship God not so that we may be saved, but because we have been saved. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you have given to us. We thank you for all that you have done in our midst. We thank you for everything that we have gone through in life. And we thank you that in every single instance and event and moment has been an opportunity for us to draw closer to you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation we receive, for his body and his blood that frees us and that sets us free. May we see you, may we return to you, and may we praise you always. In Christ's name, amen.